Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomos Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, the second line from the bottom at the new Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Aleph, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivne heading, Nosei, the topic heading, combined with a Mivne, a structural note, where we feature the geometric shapes that will appear. You see a volcano shape, and this indicates Dugmois, these are examples, Shel Mi Shehoya Nosui Shtei Noshim, Umeis Beli Yilod, a man who was married to two women and died without children, Ma Hashpoas Bi'o Shel Hashniyo Al Horishoina, when a Yavam, who by letter of the law does Yibam only with one of the widows, let us say he had intimacy with the second widow as well. What happens with regard to the first widow? And we're dealing with non-standard cases. In a standard situation of a regular marriage where the man died, leaving two regular kinds of women, so the first the intimacy with the first woman is a full-fledged marriage with her, and the second woman is simply a lav of not to build two houses. But here we're dealing with we'll say unusual cases, as will be explained as we go along, and here we're interested in knowing what effect the second woman and intimacy with her has on the first woman that the Yavam married. A double underline will also appear, Hadgoshas Oy Shebo Ochiv. We mentioned a Yavam having relations with the two Almonas, the two widows left by the brother. Another scenario that will be featured by the Mishnah is a situation where the deceased left two brothers, and we'll say Reuven died, leaving Shimon and Levi. Shimon did Yibum with one, and then Levi wrongfully had relations with the second widow. What effect does that have on Shimon, who married first? Now, the note continues to say, "B'chol echod me'amikrim, bias hashniya yecholo liois al yedei hayavam horishon atzmoi o al yedei ochiv." In all of the cases, as we just indicated, the bia, the intimacy with the second widow, could be done by the yavam himself or a second brother that survives. Now the Mishnah. Mi shehoya nosui l'shtei yesoimos ktanos umeis. A man had been married to two minors through the rabbinic marriage that can take place when a man marries a minor through the offices of her mother or brother. So a man died, leaving two minors after having had a rabbinic marriage. A rabbinic level marriage. Ubo yavam al rishona, v'chazar ubo al hashniya, and the surviving brother had relations with both women, one and then the other. You notice there's a little aleph above ubo al hashniya because regarding the second widow, there's another scenario, and that's what you see now. A base oy shibo ochiv al hashniya, or when Reuven died, he left not just Shimon but Shimon and Levi. So Levi had relations with the second widow. Lo posal es horishona. the relations with the second widow, being that the two were on the same footing, we're dealing with two minors, so whatever the first accomplished, it was it accomplished everything that needed to be done, and the second, there's no room for the second bia to have any effect. We'll take a look at the Mishnah goes on to say, v'chein shnei chareishos. Likewise, when Reuven died, leaving two widows that were both deaf mutes, so that the marriage between a man and a deaf mute is a rabbinic type marriage, and the two widows are on equal footing, so the yibum with the first one accomplishes everything, and the subsequent intimacy with the second widow in both of these cases has no effect on the first marriage. On the first marriage means the yavam that married first, or the woman that was married first by the yavam. The Rashi on the top, lo pasos rishon asherei bi'osan shove, their intimacy is on the same level. The e rishena knuyahi, if we view the first one as having been a full fledged wife, harei hi ishto vachrona bias znus. Then, as far as the yavam is concerned, that is becomes his wife, and the second one is considered an act of harlotry. Ve'i lav knuyahi, and if the ketana or the chareishes is not considered a full-fledged wife to the deceased, then hareish tehan nochrios etzlo, then they were both considered strangers, meaning not related. Shelohoyu knuyos lochiv, they were not ever really acquired by their brother, the deceased. And as such, umekayim esarishoina shelo nifsilo lov. Therefore, in any case where you have two rabbinic widows that are on the same footing, the intimacy with the first one is, and we can call it a sure bet, and the intimacy with the second one cannot affect the first one. So, therefore, he continues living with the first widow that he did yibum with. Avol achroinolo. But the second one, we can't allow him to stay with her. Dilmo knuyos havu. They may have been fully married, both of them fully married to the first husband. Umishabal rishoino. And when the intimacy, the yibum, takes place with the first one, komo hach ole b'isur shnei botan. The second widow is then forbidden to be taken in yibum based on the prohibition of one house is rebuilt and not two. That's of course a literal translation, but the yibum is an act of maintaining or rebuilding the house of the deceased. These are all concepts we're not going to elaborate them on. Again, we've dealt with them numerous times throughout the Masechta. Let's continue with the next case. Tano v'chareshes, a man dies leaving two widows, both rabbinic, but they're different. One is a minor and one is a deaf mute. Bo yavam al haktana v'chozer bo al achareshes. O yishibo ochiv al achareshes. The second woman to have been taken in this particular case is the deaf mute. So the first one that was taken was a ktana, was the minor. And then there was intimacy with the second woman, the deaf mute. The result of this is posal es haktana. And we add that there is an element of, there's a gzera here, there's a rabbinic ruling as to why that happens. We take a look at Rashi, posal es haktana, mishum gzera. We're saying that in this particular case, regarding this order specifically, so what is this gezeira? Rashi continues, Dilma kodim uboil chareshes bereisha. What we're afraid of is that the yavam might be miyabeim, might marry the chareshes first. Uchromer begemora, as the Gemara points out. V'afagav, the mimonav. Now, in that case, where the chareshes is the first one to be niveles, So it is quite possible then that the Ketana is a more complete wife of the deceased, and as a result of that, the Zika, the Yibum bond that she represents is stronger than the marriage that the Yava made with the Chareshes, being that her bond is a weak type of bond. So in a case where the Chareshes is Niv'eles first, that's inviting trouble, so to speak, in the event that the Ketana is then in the second position. So that, as Rashi goes on, V'afal gav, the mimonav shochi sharyalei, and even though in the case that the Ketana is niv'eles first, the intimacy with her is first, she under all circumstances will be muteris, hoyil v'rishoynohi, since she was the first one taken. Iknuyohi, if she represents a full marriage to the deceased, hence her yibum bond is a full strength bond. Ha knuyohi, so she's considered acquired in a complete fashion. Ilav knuyohi, with regard to the Ketana, the other option is that she's not knuyo at all. Ha, then nochris be'almuhi, then she's considered like a stranger, a total stranger, and therefore, as far as the Yovam is concerned, it's considered a separate marriage, unrelated to the issue of Yibum, because she was never considered a wife of the first one. That's as far as a Ketana is concerned. The Ketana is, as we've learned in the past, the Ketana is a Sofek Knuyo, Sofek Eino Knuyo, which of course was the subject that we spent a lot of time in our previous shiur on that. Whereas the Chareshes is a partial type kinyan. So, true, the case in the Mishnah where the Chareshes is Nivellus first is where the Ketana is Nivellus first and then the Chareshes, technically speaking, the subsequent bia with the Chareshes should have no effect on his marriage with the Ketana. But we are anticipatory of the order being reversed, in which case the Ketana being in the second position would ruin the marriage with the Chareshes that had taken place first. We continue in the Mishnah, where on the fourth line from the top, Bo Yavam al HaChareshes, V'chazar u'bo al HaKetana. Here is that reverse case, where the first one to be taken was the Chareshes, the first one to be taken in Yibum was the Chareshes, and then the minor, Oy Shebo Ochiv al HaKetana, or the brother, the second brother, we said Levi, did Yibum with the Ketana, Posal es HaChareshes. That will ruin the Yibum that had been done with the Chareshes, because of what we said before, that maybe the Ketana marriage to the deceased was a full-fledged marriage. Pichis the Chareshes. A man dies leaving two wives. One is normal and the other is a deaf mute. Bo Yavam ala Pichis, v'chazar ubo ala Chareshes. If he had intimacy first with the Pichis, which was a full-fledged wife, and then the Chareshes, o yishibo ochiv ala Chareshes, lo posal es ha-Pichis. That would have no effect on the Pichis, which was the first marriage. Bo yovam al ha-Chareshes, chazar bo al ha-Pichis. However, if the order is reversed, where the first widow to be taken was the Chareshes, and then there were relations with the Pichis, Oishibo Ochivala Pichis, or the brother, he had relations with the Pichis after the first surviving brother married the Chareshes, Posal es Chareshes. That will adversely affect, that will ruin the marriage with the Chareshes. Gedola Uptana, man died leaving an adult wife and a minor. If the first one to be married was the Gedola, that was the sure wife, And then there was relations with the Ketana, which is a rabbinic type wife. The Gedola is a Doraisa, a Torah level wife, and the Ketana is a rabbinic level wife. Oishibo Ochiv al Haktana, or the second surviving brother, he had relations with the Ketana after the first surviving brother had married the Gedola. Lo Pasal es Gedola Ketana, does not have sufficient power to undo or to ruin the marriage with the Gedola. However, if you switch things around, Bo Yovam al Ketana v'chozer bo al Gedola, Oishibo Ochiv al Gedola Pasal es Ketana, where the Gedola is in the second position, that will ruin the marriage that had taken place with the Ketana. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Melamdim es Ketana shetemoyin bo. You look at the Rashi. Rabbi Elazar, Hochi Garcina b'Masnisin. The name that we have here is Rabbi Elazar, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. Uva Komaisa in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Goras. Hochi Amoron Perakama Denida. The name difference is important to note, just to keep matters straight, that in this Mishnah it's Rabbi Elazar that is featured, and in the previous Mishnah it was Rabbi Eliezer that was featured. So that Rabbi Elazar says that in a case where there was a Yibum with the Ketana and then Yibum with the Gedola, when you have a Ketana, we advise that for Miun to take place. What is Miun? Where she walks out of the marriage and basically uproots the marriage from the very outset. It's tantamount to saying that she was never married. The Gemara. Omar, before we continue in the Gemara, though, we should glance at the side. The topic that the Gemara deals with here is Tzrichusa Lifsok Bishnei Mishnayis Kamo Hadeus Shesoivrim Yesh Lame Litanis B'mikum Siyomim Shayibum Shiyesh Lamayin. In two Mishnayos, regarding two separate cases, two different circumstances, we see a marriage with a Ketana, in which the Mishnah presents a Shita. One was Rabbi Eliezer, and this is Rabbi Elazar, two different Shitas, but they both hold that in their respective cases, we tell the Ketana, we train her to be Mimaenis, to make the declaration that undoes the rabbinic marriage. So the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar. The Halacha follows Rabbi Elazar, and the Chen Omar, Rabbi Elazar. This is an Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos is his name. He says Halacha k'Rabbi Elazar. That means the Halacha is like the Tana in our Mishnah, whose name is Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So we have a ruling here, like Rebbe Elazar, that we are Malamdin es Ketana Lamayin. And we had in a previous Mishnah a ruling like Rebbe Eliezer that said the same thing in a different case, that we train the Ketana to be Mimaenis. Now, before we go further, let's just remind ourselves of what that case was. So we have a little diagram on the side. You have a case of Reuven and Shimon. These are brothers. Reuven is married to an Isha Gedola, an adult, regular wife. And Shimon, his brother, is married to her sister, a Ketana, a minor. And we're talking there about a rabbinic marriage. Then Reuven dies, leaving an Almona, a full-fledged Torah-level wife, Torah-level Yevoma. Now, can Shimon marry her? Well, just on the surface, Shimon can't marry her straight off because Shimon is married to her sister, and that's a problem of Achos Isha. However, Shimon's marriage to the Ketana, to her sister, is a weak-level marriage. So that Shimon is confronted with a problem. He can't stay with his wife because his wife, in effect, is Achos Zekukasa. She's the sister of a woman who is zekuka, who has a bond. If Shimon's marriage to her sister was a Torah-level bond, then that would exclude the Yevama there, the Isha Gdola, from being eligible for Yevam to begin with. But not so over here, because Shimon's marriage to her sister is only rabbinic, so that the Isha Gdola makes it such that Shimon cannot continue with the Ktana. However, if Shimon were to divorce the Ktana, that would create a problem for Shimon doing Yibum, because then the Isha Gdola would be considered Achois Grushasa, the sister of a woman he divorced. So what do we say in that case, where we're confronted with a situation like this? We train the Ktana, we teach her L'ma'in, to do Miun, and Miun uproots any marriage that she had retroactively, and that will enable Shimon to do Yibum with the widow. So we see in our Mishnah where the Yavam had relations with the Ketana and then had relations with the Gedola. Rabbi Elazar says, we tell the Ketana to be Mima'enes. Now we continue in the Gemara. Utsricha. I need rulings about telling the Ketana to do Miun in both of these Mishnayos. The Itmar, the Ha'kamaisa, had we taught in the case that we featured on the side with the diagram, that was the Mishnah from Daf Kuftes. If we would have taught that in that case that we want Miun to be done, Behach Ka'omar Shmuel Halacha K'Rebbe Elazar. There Shmuel said, we follow Rebbe Elazar, that we train the Ishtoi Haktana to do Miun, Mishum Delokie Mitzvah Sibum, because without that, there is no fulfillment of Yibum whatsoever. Avol Beha, but in our Mishnah, the Kayim Mitzvah Yibum, where the Mitzvah of Yibum is done with both of them, Emo, I would have thought, Travayu Lifku Beget. Divorce both of the women with a get. And therefore, having taught that the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer there about Mavzik Tana Lamayin, I wouldn't have known what to do over here. In other words, I would have thought that over here, where he did Yibum with both of the women, they were both widows in a Yibum, and Yibum was done, as we saw described here, that they had the surviving brother had intimacy with both of them. So I would have thought, well, if he had intimacy with both of them, just send them away, divorce them with a get. Therefore, it's important for us to say that we don't do that. Rather, the Ktana is trained to be Mema'enes, and then with that, so the Yavam will stay with the Gedola. The Yashmin and Baha, and if we had taught this case, where a man died leaving the Gedola Ktana, and there was a Yavam, a brother that survived. Here we say, Mishum de Gedola Ramyo Kamei. Because in this case, the Gedola was eligible for Ibum. Aval Idoch Lo. But in the case on Daf Kuf Tes, in the case what we illustrated on the diagram, there the Gedola wasn't so eligible because she was the sister of Shimon's wife. So she wasn't quite as eligible for Yibum as in this particular case. So therefore, if I would tell you here that we want the Ktana out of the picture because the Gedola is truly an eligible Yivama, I wouldn't know that we would train the Ktana to Me'iun in that other case where the Gedola wasn't so eligible. Tzricha. Therefore, we have to tell you in that case as well that we train the Ktana to do Me'iun, to leave the marriage to Me'iun. Let's glance at the Rashi. V'i ashminon beha mishum gdola ramyo kamei liyavumi. In our case, in our Mishnah, the gdola appears as someone who is eligible for yibum. Mishum hachi madrinon amiyun diktana kedei shetisyabeim hagdola. Therefore, we're seeking out the tana to do miyun, so that the gdola would be the yavama, so there'll be miyabim the gdola. Aval be'idoch be'ayi the achoyos. In the case of the two sisters, the gdola is really achos ishtohi. She's the sister of Shimon's wife. Nemo lo ramyu kamei. She's not really available. For yibum v'lo yilamdu k'tana l'mayin v'shiv yashu gdola. Maybe we wouldn't train the k'tana to walk away from Shimon so as to enable him to do yibum with the gdola. Tzricho, therefore, we have to tell you, not so, but we do train her to do miun. And now the next Mishnah, Yavam Koton She Bo Al Yavama K'tana. A boy who has survived his brother, but this surviving brother, the Yavam, is a minor. And he has intimacy with a Yavama K'tana, with the widow, who is also a minor. Yigdilu ze im ze. They stay together until they become adults. Rashi points out that if this Koton wants to divorce her, he can't do so until he becomes an adult, because a divorce document given by a Koton, it doesn't count, has no validity. Bo al Yavama G'dayla Tigadlenu. If the Koton has intimacy with the Yavama G'dayla, with an adult widow over 12 years old, then she raises him. Hayavama Sh'amra B'soich Shloishim Yom. A Yavama that says within 30 days of her having been married by the Yavam, Lo Nivalti, she claims that she has not been party to intimacy. Koifen Oisoi Shiach Loitzlo. We force him to do Chalitza with her. Chalitza is a reality or is an option only if he had not done Biyah with her. So we're saying here that within 30 days it's quite possible that the man restrained himself from intimacy and did not have intimacy with her. Therefore, when she says Lo Nivalti, she's believed. Now Rashi adds more information that we haven't seen yet in the Gemara, but Rashi quotes the Gemara. He says, Lo Nivalti Lo Layavam. Forget Yivmin Yoytze Mitachas Yada. Conforms with Gemara. She also has a divorce document from him. A Yavam that writes a get to a Yavama has a certain status. It has a rabbinic status. We're talking, of course, about a Yavam that didn't marry her, the Yavama, yet. So she has this as well. She's claiming that he did not have intimacy with me, and she has this get Yivmin as well, you know, as the Gemara says, Hu Omer, and he is counterclaiming, Bo Altich, the Dayech Beget, I did have intimacy with you, and you are my wife, and it's enough that I give you a get. In other words, he, you can see, is not interested in participating in a Chalitza ceremony. Well, we force him to free her through Chalitza. Dehi Nemenes, she is believed in this case. That up till 30 days, we can assume that a man is capable of restraining himself from intimacy. The Mishnah goes on, Li'achar Shloishim Yoim. If this story takes place where she claims she wasn't party to intimacy with the Yovam, and she's saying this 30 days after he married her. Mevakshin Heimenu Shiachlo Tzla. We ask him to do chalitza. We don't force him. She's not really believed that he withheld himself for 30 days, for more than 30 days. So as far as we're concerned, it's very likely that he did marry her, and that chalitza becomes a thing of the past. It's something that would have no relevance. If we take a look at Rashi, Lachar Shloshim Yoim, Omra Loi Nevalti, Vuomer Baltich, and he is saying, yes, I did have intimacy. Hu Ne'emon, he is believed. Although Moki Minish Anavshi Milavol, a person wouldn't be able to restrain himself so long from intimacy. Umihu, however, Ihi Lo Mishtario, she is not freed. She's not freed with a simple get. The Shavisa Lenafsha Chaticha Disur, she made herself usur by claiming Lo Nivalti, that I wasn't party to intimacy. And by saying that, she's basically saying that a get wouldn't work for myself. These Ubayo Chalitza. And she will need chalitza, but based on her testimony about herself. Umevakshin heimenu, and we ask him. Maybe you'll help her out. Avol koifin lo, deha boal. But force? No, we're not going to force him, because as far as we're concerned, he did have intimacy with her, making the woman a full fledged wife. And for a full fledged wife, chalitza is meaningless. But as Rashi pointed out, but since from her claim she's saying, in effect, I really need chalitza because he didn't have intimacy with me yet, so we beg of him, we seek of him, maybe he will cooperate and do chalitza with her. Ubizman shehu, the Mishnah goes on, Ubizman shehu moide, where he admits, I did not have relations. She's saying he didn't have relations with me, and he's saying, you're right, I didn't. Then afilu lachar shneimos chodesh kofin oisoi shiachlutz lo. If they're both saying that there was no intimacy, then we will force him to do chalitz, even if it's after a year. Hanoideras hano miyavoma, a woman. Had she's the Yavama, and she forswear benefiting the Yavam. That's, I'll read that again. She through a vow, she restricts any pleasure that she would provide to the Yavam. Bechaye Baila, if this neder took place when the husband, when she was still married to the original husband. Kaifen oisoi shiachloitz lo. When the husband dies, so we force him, the Yavam, to provide chalitza. Now we take a look at the Rashi. Bechaye bailo. She had taken this vow when her original husband was still alive. Falonis kavna. Liftor atzmo heimenu lachar mises baila. She didn't have in mind that she wanted to be freed of yibum after her husband would die. Elo shohoya lahem kas zeim zeh. Rather, there was some kind of anger that had broken out between the two of them. So since her intent in that case was not a, we'll say, premeditated attempt on her part to get around doing yibum, since that wasn't her kavona to get out of the yibum, because she took the vow when her husband was still alive. So it wasn't on her mind that she might become a Yavama But she did make a neder not to provide hanor to the Yavam. So when the husband eventually dies, we tell him, you have to free her with chalitza, because otherwise you're going to be violation of the vow. Now, the achar mises bylaw. If, however, she vowed not to benefit the Yavam after the husband, the original husband, died, well, she's attempting to uproot Yibum when that is that mitzvah set in before she took the vow. So then we say to the Yavam, Mivakshin Heimenu Shiachsu, we request of him, maybe you'll accommodate her and do chalitza so that she doesn't come to violate the vow. V'im niskavno lekach, if she had kavona to exempt herself from the mitzvah of Yibum, and she was neder sanom yivoma afilu b'chaye b'ilo mevakshin heimenu shiachlo tzla, that if she had that kavona even when her husband was still alive, but she entertained the possibility of her becoming a Yavama, and she vowed against the Yavam, so in such a case it was a, we'll say, direct confrontation against doing Yibum. So in such a case, we will not force him to do Chalitza, but we'll ask of him. Before we continue, on the side we have an Osei Nivne heading. The triangle that will appear is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style discussion. So we've written in the note that we will have a birur, we'll try to clarify, im mishnasenu de matiro yavam koton shabal yavam ktana namshich biyachad the lo karevi meir. Is this mishnah representative of an opinion that is unlike that of Rebbe Meir? So we want to suggest that our mission is not like Rebbe Meir. The inverted triangle is a response. So if you just skim ahead, you'll notice that we have quite a few of these triangles indicating the back and forth nature of the discussion. The Gemara, Leimo Masisa Delok Rebbe Meir. Let us suggest that our mission is not like Rebbe Disatna. We have the following source in which Rebbe Meir is featured. Katan Uktana Lo Cholzin Velo Misyavnim Divrei Rebbe Meir. A Katan and Ktana do not participate in Yibum. The Katan doesn't because he might turn out to be a Soros. In other words, as he matures, he might not mature properly and end up being someone incapable of procreation. And if that turns out, so the cotton, the cotton who doesn't mature properly, for him to take the wife of his brother would be an isur of eshesach, would be forbidden. The whole mitzvah of Yibum is in order to procreate, but if he turns out to be a soros, so then that is not a possibility, and then it reverts back to the basic prohibition of being the wife of your brother, and that's a forbidden relationship. As far as the katana is concerned, why is a katana, a minor female, not to participate in Yibum? Because why is she exempt, according to Rabbi Meir? Because she might turn out to be an eilinus, also a woman incapable of procreation. So we say that a katana and katana do not do chalitza, nor do they do Yibum. Our Mishnah, you saw, allowed the Yavam katan to be with the katana. The Gemara responds, Afilu Temo Rebbe Meir. Our Mishnah might very well agree with Rebbe Meir. Kiyom Rebbe Meir Gedol Lekotan, Uktana Legodol. Rebbe Meir's objection was when one member of the couple, one of the two, was a Kotan or a Ktana. The Chad Minayu Biodi Sura. Because you're dealing with an adult is bound by mitzvahs of the Torah. And since one of them, either the woman is the widow is the gedola, or the surviving brother is the gadol, they have to worry about committing offenses. So where one of them is a godol, so an offense has been committed, because you're marrying someone who's questionable as to whether they're going to be capable of doing the of participating in procreation, which is the essence of mitzvah sibul. Avol kotan abag tana, but the case featured in our Mishnah was a minor fellow with a minor female, the widow. The travayu ki hadodi ninu, where both of them are not b'nei oinshin, both of them are exempt from violations of sins. They're not adult. Only adults are considered b'nei oinshin. So where they're equal, Loi Omar, Rabbi Meir would not have stated his objection. Question: V'ha'katoni bo'al yivoma gedola tegadlenu. Our Mishnah says that the very case that you just claimed Rabbi Meir holds to be forbidden, our Mishnah allows, where a katon did yibum with a gedola. The Mishnah says they stay together. Omar Rabbi Chanina Choyza bo shiny. Our Mishnah is speaking about something post facto. Rabbi Meir says that initially the Kotan should not do Yibum, but if it was done, that's the case of the Mishnah. So that Rabbi Meir's objection to say that our Mishnah is someone other than Rabbi Meir isn't so. The Gemara asks, V'ha tigadlenu komar, the chol bio bio di isurahu. The Mishnah isn't talking about where post facto or just one act of industry took place. The Mishnah is saying they continue together. She raises him, and they're going to have constant, they're going to have a regular intimacy with one another. And as far as Rabbi Meir would be concerned, each act of intimacy is forbidden, and yet the Mishnah is not put off by that. The Mishnah is tigalenu, they stay together. So how can you say that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Meir when Rabbi Meir forbids a cotton with a gedola? Ela machvarta masnisin delo kremer. Rather, it's most likely then, machvarta means it would appear more likely that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Meir. The Gemara asks now, the Gemara asks on the mission itself from a pasuk. How can the Kotan be allowed to stay with a Yevoma to begin with? Krikan lahokim lochiv shem. The mitzvah of Yibum is to continue the name of the deceased brother through procreation. V'haylav bar hochihu. A minor isn't capable of that. Omar Abaye, Omar Kro, Abaye says there is a pasuk that says Yavoma Yavoy Oleo Koldehu. The Yavom comes upon the Yavoma, whoever the Yavom is, even if he is a minor. So that the pasuk is telling me that the Yibum is to be done, even if he's not quite qualified for maintaining the name of his brother. Rova Omar. Belav hochi nami lo motzis amris. Without this gzeres akosef, you still cannot say that the cotton is not to do the ibum. Mi ikomidi, could there be anything? The hashto asirole, that right now you would claim that the cotton is forbidden. Well, the boser shaita sharia, and after a while, after comes a godol, then it would be mutter. Veho omar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, kol yevomo she'ena nikurei bo b'shas nefila, any case of yibum where I cannot say at the time of the death of the brother, yevomo yavo oleha. If I can't say at the time of the death that the yibum can now be done, hare. He keishes ach sheish lebona v'asura. If, as we said, if it's a situation where at the time of death you can't fulfill the mitzvah Yibum, then it doesn't become mutter later on, but rather the label of Iser Eishes Ach, of the prohibition of a brother's wife, sets in. She's considered an Eishes Ach as if he had children. She's considered the widow of a man as if he had children, and she's forbidden. So Rava says, even without the analysis of saying, or the pasuk that says Yevamo Yevol, under all circumstances, you couldn't possibly say that in a case where the surviving brother is a katan, that katan at the time of his brother's death would be forbidden. Because if you were to say that, then even when he becomes adult, he wouldn't be able to do Yibum. And we know that without any doubt that when the katan becomes adult, he will do the mitzvah of Yibum. The Gemara asks, V'emo hachinami, maybe we should actually say that in fact, since at the time of the death he was a katan, he does not become mutter later on for doing Yibum. Omar Kro, the pasuk answers that and says, "Ki yeshvu achim yachdov, afilu ben yom echad." The pasuk of "Ki yeshvu achim yachdov" is a pasuk that appears at the beginning of the parsha of Yibum, and it describes two brothers that lived in the world simultaneously. Even if there's a big gap in age, even if the day that one dies, the other one was born. But the birth took place of the new brother before the elder brother died. So they lived in the world simultaneously. And that is enough to qualify someone for Yibum. And as such, the suggestion that since at the time of the brother's death the surviving brother wasn't capable of procreation, that is, we'll say, overruled by this particular Gzeres HaKosov, even that says that Yibum is to be done by a brother that happened to coexist in the world with the deceased, even if it's for a day. Yevoma she'omra b'soich shloshim yom v'chulei. The topic heading that we have on the side reads as follows: Ne'emonus yavom v'yevoma loymar nivalti o lo nivalti. The believability of the yavom or the yevoma to say that we had intimacy or we didn't have intimacy. B'soich shloshim yom or li'achar shloshim yom, within 30 days, after 30 days. These are all the variables that we have to take a look at. The Gemara continues. Man Tana the Atalsin Yoimin Moikim Inishanafshi. Who is the Tana that says that the thirty day is the cutoff point, that with up till 30 days a man can withhold himself, can restrain himself from intimacy, even though he's living together in the same house with the Yavoma, we can believe the claim that there was no bia up till 30 days. So which Tana holds that? We have a number here. Number one, this is Rabbi Yochanan, and later, two lines later, you see Rabbo, it's a second approach. So Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe Meir he. This idea is in accordance with Rebbe Meir Desanya. Tainas Besulim Kol Shloishim Yoim Divrei Rebbe Meir. The term Tainas Besulim represents the sugya, the topic discussed at great length in Maseches Ksubis, concerning a man that thought that the wife that he was marrying was a virgin, and he then claims at the time of his initial intimacy, he claims that he felt that she's not a virgin, and that he is is putting a claim in, and since that's the case, that she's not what I thought she was, she should lose the ksubah to which she otherwise would be entitled. A virgin is entitled to what we say is 200 zuz. That's the amount of money, the basic amount of money guaranteed to a besula. And in the case featured here, the man is claiming that she's not a besula, so that she doesn't deserve that ksubah. What does Rebbe Meir say? That a man can place such a claim up till 30 days. What that in effect means is that within 30 days, at any given day of those 30 days, he can say, I just had relations with her, and I felt that she was not a virgin. So if we look in Rashi, he says this very briefly, Kol shloshim yom diyochol litoin lo bo'alti adato. I haven't had relations with her till now. It's not that I had relations earlier with her and I'm claiming that she's not a virgin, but I didn't have relations with her till now. And that this claim of his can be made throughout the first 30 days of their marriage. Rebbe Yossi Omer Nistero La'alter. If the couple went into private, then from then it's only that moment, in other words immediately, if he makes the claim that I didn't find her to be a basula, that we would listen to his claim. And we would listen to his claim only if he makes it immediately. But if he makes the claim after a while, we're not going to believe him, because we will assume that he is the one that had the initial relations with her, and at that time he noticed that she really was a basula, and he kept quiet, and now he's angry with her, and therefore he's putting this claim in that she's not what he thought she was. So that's as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, that if they were in private, Nistara, that means they were in private, we assume that he would have relations right then and there. And only if he makes the claim that she's not a basula, if he makes that claim immediately, then we'll give him a hearing. But afterwards, if time lapses, we're not going to listen to him. Lo nistara, if this couple did not go into private for a while, afla achar kama shonim, if they were never in private, even if it's several years later, and then one day they go into private, we will listen to his claim. Rabbo Omar Afilu Temo Rabbi Yossi. Our Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan claimed was according to Rabbi Meir, that within 30 days a person can withhold himself. Rabbo comes and says, our Mishnah can be in accordance with Rabbi Yossi as well. Ad kan lo ka'omar Rabbi Yossi hosom. Rabbi Yossi said that a person doesn't restrain himself. In other words, when they're in private, the first time they're in private, then we will assume he will have intimacy with her. So that there's no such thing, so to speak, of a couple that would, where the man would withhold himself for any length of time more than a very short amount of time. Rabbi Yossi said that idea that a person doesn't withhold himself hasam there. In that case, ela ba'arusoso. It's a case of a newly wed couple, degis bo. He has great affection and desire for her. So a person who has great affection and desire for her, he's not going to withhold himself for 30 days. Avol, Eishesachiv, but our topic, which deals with a man not marrying some new or stranger to him, but it's his brother's wife. So here we have another element, another psychological element. Mivzaz, the Gemara continues here at the top of Kufyud Beis Amalav. Mivzaz bozes mina. He's embarrassed. He's expected to have intimacy with whom? With his sister-in-law. That's embarrassing for him. So in a case like that, he might very well withhold himself for 30 days, and if the
if the woman claims, if the widow claims, in other words, the sister claims, up till 30 days he didn't have relations with me, we could very well believe that, even according to Reb Yossi. So that the claim that our Mishnah, with its 30-day time frame, is only according to Rabbi Meir, Rabbo says not so. Our Mishnah can be in accordance with Reb Yossi as well. The Gemara asks, Ad shekaifin oisoi lachloitz nichpenu liabeim. Now our Mishnah, we saw the court, or the forces that be, are to force him to do yibum. We saw in the Mishnah where a yavama said, within 30 days of the yavam having taken her in, if she says within 30 days I have not had intimacy, we force him to do chalitza. So our Gemara is asking, instead of forcing chalitza, why not force him to have intimacy with her? Omar Rav, b'shegita yotze mitachas yoda. We can't force him to do intimacy because she's also presenting a divorce document, a get yivmin. And once a divorce document is given from a yavam to yavama, so even though it's not a real divorce, but nevertheless it prevents, on a rabbinic level, it creates an isur, as we've learned earlier in the Masichta, of going ahead with yibum. So since she has this get, we can't force him to do yibum. The Gemara asks, and you know, we have a long question. Yavama Shamra Besoich Shloshim Yom Lo Nivalti. She says within 30 days I haven't had intimacy. Bein Shu Omer Boalti, Bein Shu Omer Lo Nivalti, Lo Boalti. Regardless of what his claim is, he claims he did have intimacy, or he agrees with her. Kaifen Oisa Shiachlot Slo. She has believability, and we therefore will force him to do chalitza to free her. Li'achar Shloshim Yoim Mevakshin Heimenu Shiachlot Slo. If the claim, the woman makes the claim of Lo Nivalti, but after 30 days, it's very unlikely that he didn't have relations. He probably did. And therefore, she claims that she's still a Yavama, not having married him yet, not having fulfilled the mitzvah Yibum. But he is claiming that he did. And more than 30 days have gone by. Therefore, the only way to accommodate the woman would be by asking him, pleading with him to give her, to do chalitza with her. Now we continue. After 30 days, he omeres nivalti, vu omer lo baalti. She is claiming, after 30 days of having been taken in by the yavam, she's saying, I have been party to intimacy. And he's saying, no. Hare ze yotze beget. If there's any thought of his separating from her, he'll have to give her a divorce document. She is believed. And once a yavam does bia with a yavama, it becomes a full-fledged wife. And the only way to disband that relationship is with a get. Hu omer boalti vi omeres lo nivalti. He's saying, after 30 days, yes, I had intimacy with her. And she's saying, no, I'm still a yavama, I'm not a wife yet. Because lo nivalti, I wasn't participant in intimacy. Afalpi shechozer vi omer lo boalti, even though he turns around and agrees with what she said, tzorich get the chalitza. Now, here, notice we've dashed underlined tzorich get. From the fact that we're requiring a get, it must be that there was no get till now. So the question is, why in the Reisha does it say
We saw it in the ratio. We dashed underline it. Koifanoiso Shiachlotzla. We force Chalitza. Why not force him to do Yibum?
So that what we're bringing into question is that Rav tried to explain our Mishnah as saying we force Chalitza and we don't force Yibum because there was a get that she was holding. Here we have a situation where she's not holding a get, and still in the Reisha, where she says within 30 days I was not Nivellus, we force him to do Chalitza, and we, again, I'm just repeating, there's no get over here, so why don't we force him to do Yibum with her?
Omar Rabbi Ami, we have diamonds, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, we indicate these are Tshuvos Lashela Shinishala Ekev HaBraisa. These are responses to the question that we've just now raised.
So Rabbi Ami says, Tzricha Chalitza Im Gita. Really, when the source says Tzricha Tzorach Get V'Chalitza, it means to say that in addition to the get that she has, like Rav said before, we want Chalitza as well. Because what we're hearing in the Seifa is the claim of Lo Bo'alti.
Let us take a look at Rashi on this. In the upper part of the narrow lines, Omar Rabbi Ami, Le'olam B'Shagita B'Yoda.
As we saw earlier, the reason that it says Koifen Oysu She'achlo Tzla and not Koifen Oysu Li'abem is because she has a get. V'hochi Ko'omar. And thusly, the source is saying, Tzricha Chalitza Im Gita. She needs Chalitza together with the get. Now, there was an expression in the at the end of the source that said, Afal Pi Shechoza V'yomar Lo Balti. That expression, V'afal Pi Dikotoni A Mevakshim Koi. It's going on the phrase where it says, we request of him. The term Mevakshin, you can see in the source, was on in the framed section. It was the fifth line, first word on the line of the framed section. The Hochi Ko'omar, Afal Pi Shechozar V'Yomar Lo Bo'alti, even though he turns around and says, I didn't have relations with her, De'ika L'Meimar Koifin Hoyol Moide, there was room to suggest, oh, you're agreeing that Lo Bo'alti, so then we should force the chalitza. Afilu hachi ein koifin. Even so, we do not force elotzricha chalitza, but rather chalitza is required. Ve'i lo boy lemichlatz lo kaifinon. If he doesn't want to participate in chalitza, we don't force him. The samchinon adibure kamo. We rely in this respect on his first comment, which was, I did have intimacy. And why does that carry weight? It's because 30 days have already gone by. So we continue in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar Hasam. Let's point out based on Rashi that we do require, you'll see, and when we look at the Rashi, we require another get besides the first get. So, well, first we read the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar Hosam, get Lizikoso. When Rav said his din, Beshegita Yotze Mitachas Yoda, that was a get that was written against the Yibum bond. That's called a get lezikoso. And therefore, once there's a get that counters the yibum bond, therefore we don't force him to do yibum. Hacha,
in this brisa, get lebioso. The statement of tzorach get is as follows. Since he said bo'alti, even though he changes his mind, we take that into consideration that there was Bia, and then she becomes a full-fledged wife to him. And in order to disband a relationship like that, you need a get, a standard get, to break apart a husband and wife. So now we take a look at Rashi. Rav Ashi Omar, li'olam tzricha get achir, levad get harishon. This Tanaic source that said tzorach get, that doesn't prove that the case of kaifa noisish shiachlots is a case where there was no get. There was a get. There was a get against the zika, like Rav said earlier. But the source that says tzorach get, that's a reference to a second get, besides the first one. The hasam get lezikaso v'nifsolav. That was a get that was what was written by the yavam to yavama before they cohabited. And that's a get that undoes, that's written against the bond, the yibum bond, v'nifsola olav, and that renders her unfit to him. Lefikach lo nachpinon liyabeim. Therefore, we're not going to force them to do yibum. V'kevon diomar bo'alti. And since he is claiming that I had intimacy with her, tzricha get lebioso, diyesh bio achara get. Here, once again, these are topics we've seen much earlier in the Masichta. The idea of a get against the zika is a rabbinic phenomenon. The bio done between a yavam and a yavama is a Torah level phenomenon. So that, as the Rashi says, there is bio achara the get. There is power for that bio to take hold. Even after a get was written between the Yavam and the Yavama. And that's what the source is telling us at the end. Sorof get is the second get. V'hashto mistabro afalpi dekotoni. And then the afalpi that appears in this source is now understandable. V'hochi komar, and thusly it is saying, afalpi shechozar v'yomar lo bo'alti, even though he turns around and says, I didn't have relations with her. Ve'iko le'meimar lo tiboy get ela chalitza. And there's room to think that all that's needed now is just chalitza. Filu hachi, even so, bayo get. We do require a get. And again, that get is in order to break up the full-fledged husband-wife relationship. After all, he did say initially bo'alti. We continue in the Gemara. Hano shnehem moidim. There was a case of two, the Yavam and Yavama, that were agreeing that there was no bia, but initially he had said there was bia. That's the case. It's in short term here. It's in a short text over here, but it's the case we were discussing before. So there were two, that a couple that were moide, that there was no bia, but he originally said bo'alti. The osu lekame de rava. Omar lehu rava. They came in front of rava, and rava said to them, chalotsu la v'shoru la tigra. I want chalitza to be done, and that will settle the problem. Tigra literally is an argument, a conflict. Omar le rav shravya the rava. Tanya tzricha get v'chalitza. According to what you just said, is that chalitza is enough. And it would seem that Rava's looking at the fact that they're both agreeing that there was no bia. Well, if there was no bia, so then chalitza would be enough. But we have learned, in our brisa, we learned just above, that a get is also required. Amalei, so Rava answered, E, Tanya, Tanya, if you have a Tanaic source that says that, then that's the way it goes, that you have to have a get also. Bor Mine, here's a name, Hoin, Bray, the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had a son that was named Hung. And so he asked me, the Rav Nachman, he asked of his father, Tsaroso Mahu. What is the din of the co-wife? Now we're talking about a case of a Yavam. Let's say you have again Reuven and Shimon. Reuven happened to have two wives that were left widows upon Reuven's death. Shimon took in one of those wives. He did Yibum. He took her in to his house. He took one of them. At that point, the Tsara, the co-wife, is free to marry someone else. But the woman, the Yavama that Shimon took in, she said, Lo Nivalti. Now, if she says Lo Nivalti, basically she's saying that the mitzvah of Yibum hasn't been done yet. Does that prohibit the Tsara, the co-wife, who in the meantime may have gone to marry some other man, but with the claim of the Yavama, the one that was chosen for Yibum, claiming that Lo Nivalti, so the mitzvah of Yibum wasn't done, and the Tsara, the co-wife, then is still bound to the Yavam. So what effect does the claim of Lo Nivalti have on the Tsara? Omar Lay, so Rav Nachman answers his son, V'chi mipnei shanu kaifen mevakshin Te'osir Tzora, just because we take with some degree of seriousness the claims, and as a result, within 30 days we did Kaifen, and we forced Chalitza. After 30 days we request the Chalitza, but all of this is based on the woman's claim. That's not strong enough. That's not a strong enough consideration to Aser, to create prohibition with regard to the Tzora. So that once a Yavama is taken in by the Yavam into his house, the Tzora is free to marry whomever she wants, and these subsequent claims made by the Yavama are not strong enough to present or place restriction on the co-wife. If we look at Rashi, Tsoroso mahu, Yavama she konso hayavam, the niftiro tsoroso, a Yavama that was taken in by a Yavam. She was taken into his house, and that frees the co-wife frees her to choose some husband from out there. The omra Yavama lacharzman, and the Yavama after a while says lo nivalti, mal leoser tsoroso mitnei dibura shozu. As a result of that claim made by the Yavama that I haven't had intimacy, does that create restriction for the co-wife? Rashi continues with the answer of the Gemara, Mipnei shanu kaifenu mevakshin litzorcha, because of our intervention on behalf of the Yavama who had made her claim, de'ihi shavisa lenafsha chaticha d'isura, the Yavama had made herself usher by saying Lo Nivalti, Ne'esra Tzorosa, would we aser the Tzora, the co-wife? Tzorosa vaday lo mitzura, the Tzora, the co-wife, is definitely not prohibited or restricted. The Chazoka HaKinis is Isha boy Oli Alter, the assumption that we make is that a man takes in a woman, he has intimacy with her immediately. And that's enough for us to conclude that the Tzora has no further Yibum restrictions, and she's free to marry whomever she wants. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.